Amen. Thank you, Christopher. And thank you to our music team today, John and Sue and Keith. Wonderful adaptability, I think, to move from I vow to thee, my country, to great is the darkness, and change of sounds. And I think that thing will even do human voices and dogs barking if you want, but I'd rather not today, if that's all right. Yeah, thank you. Lovely. Remembrance is a day to look back and to remember those who gave their lives, who are no longer with us, but whose influence lingers on. And we're here today, of course, because of their sacrifice. If you've got a £2 coin in your pocket, one of those sort of two-colour attractive ones, make sure you feel it once in a while today. Perhaps if you've got sensitive fingers, you can run your fingers around the edge and feel the wording, the letters written there with your fingertips. Because when the Royal Mint first issued a £2 coin in 1994, they were looking for a memorable phrase to engrave around the coin's edge. And in the end, they picked a sentence from a letter written by Isaac Newton, famous scientist, brilliant scientist, to his fellow scientist and friend, Robert Hooke. And Newton wrote this: "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." And those last six words are now engraved around the coin's edge. At least most coins. My wife tells me she found one that hadn't got it, but I think mine has anyway. Standing on the shoulders of giants. Perhaps you've come here today remembering particular individuals. Think back to those who've preceded you to heaven. What have they contributed to your life? How has their faith or their insight or their example enabled you to see further? The chances are their contributions to your life are worth a lot more than £2, aren't they? And I chose our reading from Hebrews today because I think it speaks most powerfully of what we owe to those before us, and also of our proper response as well. A few weeks ago, Jane and I had a day out down in London, and we decided to go to the National Portrait Gallery just off Trafalgar Square. I'd never been there before. I thought that's one that I'd like to go and see. And of course, it's full of portraits, pictures of the great and the good, corridors and galleries full of them. And Hebrews 11 is a little bit like that. It's been called the Gallery of Faith, because in it is a long list of all God's faithful servants in the Old Testament, his Old Testament heroes, if you like. The ones who the Jews in Jesus' day would have looked back on and said, those are our examples of faith. Those are the giants of God's kingdom. Some of them we know quite a bit about. King David, obviously, there's a lot about him, isn't there? Some of them we know virtually nothing. Those sawn in two, well, I don't remember a Bible story about that. Maybe if you've delved into Maccabees or something, you might have read about that. But some of these are quite mysterious, aren't they? But the reason that we remember them, the reason that they're listed here in Hebrews, is not just because they died. It's because they suffered and died for a cause. They died with courage and with faith in God. In fact, that coin edge quotation from Isaac Newton is actually a variation on something much older. Bernard of Chartres, in the early 12th century, French philosopher, said that we may be mere pygmies in comparison with our forebears, but we see further because we're pygmies perched on the shoulders of giants. It's a nice idea, isn't it? Nevertheless, Hebrews reminds us that we're not insignificant. We're not without significance ourselves. The last two verses of Hebrews 11 there, verses 39 and 40, say this. These, all these Old Testament heroes, they were all commended for their faith, and yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Sort of enigmatic idea, isn't it? It's as if, doesn't matter how tall the giant is, there is a level that even the giant can't reach up to. But the pygmy standing on his shoulders can grasp it. And in Hebrews 12, that's revealed as the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the arrival of the kingdom of God in the New Testament. Christ comes and proclaims the good news of the kingdom. Not that it came easily, mind, because Christ himself stands in this tradition of Hebrews 11, this great tradition of those who gave their lives for the faith. In John 15, Jesus memorably says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, not all of those who've died in war were Christians. Not all of them died for their faith in God, particularly. But we remember them today, of course, because they made the ultimate sacrifice. They died with courage, and they died for a cause. And their death gives us life today. So how should we respond to the example of those in the past, those who've died? Hebrews tells us in chapter 12 that, like Olympic runners, we should take off all that holds us back and hinders us. And we should run the race with eyes fixed on winning. In athletics, you remember in the summer, it's that moment of tension, isn't it, before the start, where the tracksuits are peeled off and so on, and the starting blocks are put down, and the athletes put their feet, plant their feet securely in the starting blocks, and they crouch down, and then they look up at the finishing tape, the goal. They visualize victory, and they have to keep their eyes fixed on that goal. And Hebrews says it's like that for us. It's as if we are in a race. And what we have to do, our best strategy, is to fix our gaze on Jesus as our inspiring example, as our pacemaker. He's run the race ahead of us. As our finishing tape, he's the one that we're aiming for. Our podium, our gold medal, our prize. Run the race, says Hebrews, with determination, single-mindedness, with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Perhaps you saw on Friday the announcement of Justin Welby as the 105th Archbishop of Canterbury. I have to confess, when I was very young, he was at school with me. But he was a year older, and I didn't really know him very well. It's a bit shocking, isn't it, when that happens? Somebody at school with you gets to be the Archbishop. And the press this week have been even more fascinated with the appointment than usual. And I'm actually encouraged by that. I think perhaps our nation feels a need, a spiritual need, for direction more than ever. Spiritual occasions in our nation, well, like today, are more popular than before, more respected, more observed. The pressure on the Archbishop is intense, as we've seen this week. The task is superhuman. So please pray for Rowan and for Justin. But I think perhaps even more important still, pray for us, for you and for me. Because the media may focus on the Archbishop, but actually from day to day, the Christians that most people meet are those like us, you and me. All of us who follow Christ have a race to run, says Hebrews, a prize to win. And we win, says Hebrews, by doing this, by casting off sin and by single-mindedly following Jesus. So think, what holds you back? What is it that's encumbering you and hindering you in the race? What holds you back from being like Jesus? Is there something for you that gets in the way or that's dragging you down? Have a think for a moment. And whatever those things are, get rid of it. Tear it off before the race begins. Get rid of all that hinders and drags us down. And then run like Christ. In press conferences and interviews this week, Justin Welby has already shown humility and Christ-like wisdom. How could you show Christ clearly to others today and this week? In what ways could you be like a transparent window that the light just pours in, the light of Christ pours through? How could you do that this week? Out in the world, perhaps at home, among your family, in your work maybe, with neighbours, or perhaps even on holiday, how could you be Christ to those around you? And then I say, let's do it. Amen.